the kind of place I say, don't matter what you plant here, it'll come up beautiful. Isn't that right, Fred?
Yup, said Professor Fred Windbright, Royal Botanical Gardens. Couldn't have put it better myself.
Right, first question for the team, and this comes from Mr. R.P. Taylor, chairman of the local residents' association, I do believe.
That's right. Well, I'm a keen rose grower, but my prize-winning Molly Maguire lost a couple of blossoms yesterday in a rain of what were apparently fish. What does the team recommend for this, other than place netting over the garden? I mean, I've written to the council.
Not a common problem, I'd say. Harry.
Mr. Tyler, let me ask you a question. Were these fresh fish or preserved?
Fresh, I believe.
Well, you've got no problems, my friend. I hear you've also been having rains of blood in these parts, and I wish we had these up in the dales where my garden is. Save me a fortune in fertilisers. Now, what you do is, you dig them into your...
Crowley.
Crowley said nothing.
Crowley, the war has begun, Crowley. We note with interest that you avoided the forces we empowered to collect you.
Crowley agreed.
Crowley, we will win this war, but even if we lose, at least as far as you are concerned, it will make no difference at all. For as long as there is one demon left in hell, Crowley, you will wish you had been created mortal.
Crowley was silent.
Mortals can hope for death or for redemption. You can hope for nothing. All you can hope for is the mercy of hell.
Yeah?
Just our little joke.
Said Crowley.
Now, as keen gardeners know, it goes without saying that he's a cunning little devil, your Tibetan, tunnelling straight through your begonias like it was nobody's business. A cup of tea'll shift him, with rancid yak butter for preference. You should be able to get some at any good gard...
Static drowned out the rest of the programme. Crowley turned off the radio and bit his lower lip. Beneath the ash and soot that flaked his face, he looked very tired and very pale and very scared. And suddenly, very angry. It was the way they talked to you. As if you were a houseplant who'd started shedding leaves on the carpet. And then he turned a corner, which was meant to take him onto the slip road to the M25, from which he'd swing off onto the M40 up to Oxfordshire. But something had happened to the M25, something that hurt your eyes if you looked directly at it. From what had been the M25 London Orbital Motorway came a low chanting, a noise formed of many strands, car horns and engines and sirens and the bleep of cellular telephones and the screaming of small children trapped by backseat seatbelts forever. Hail the great beast, devourer of worlds, came the chanting, over and over again in the secret tongue of the black priesthood of ancient Mu. The dreaded sigil Odegra, thought Crowley as he swung the car around, heading for the North Circular. I did that, that's my fault. It could have been just another motorway. A good job, I'll grant you, but was it really worthwhile? It's all out of control. Heaven and hell aren't running things anymore. It's like the whole planet is a third world country that's finally got the bomb. Then he began to smile. He snapped his fingers. A pair of dark glasses materialised out of his eyes. The ash vanished from his suit and his skin. What the hell? If you had to go, why not go with style? Whistling softly, he drove. They came down the outside lane of the motorway like destroying angels, which was fair enough. They weren't going that fast, all things considered. The four of them were holding a steady 105 miles per hour, as if they were confident that the show could not start before they got there. It couldn't. They had all the time in the world, such as it was. Just behind them came four other riders, Big Ted, Greaser, Pig Bog and Scuzz. They were elated. They were real Hell's Angels now, and they rode the silence. Around them, they knew, was the roar of the thunderstorm, the thunder of traffic, the whipping of the wind and the rain. But in the wake of the horsemen, there was silence pure and dead. Almost pure, anyway. Certainly dead. It was broken by Pig Bog, shouting to Big Ted.
"What are you going to be, then?" he asked hoarsely.
"What?"
"I said what you—"
"I heard what you said. It's not what you said. Everyone heard what you said. What did you mean? That's what I want to know."
Pig Bog wished he'd paid more attention to the Book of Revelation. If he'd known he was going to be in it, they'd have read it more carefully.
"What I mean is, they're the four horsemen of the apocalypse, right?"
"Bikers," said Greaser.
"Right, four bikers of the apocalypse. War, famine, death, and the other one. Pollution."
"Yeah, so?"
"So they said it was all right if we came with them, right?"
"So?"
"So we're the other four bikers of the apocalypse. So which ones are we?"
There was a pause. The lights of passing cars shot past them in the opposite lane,